We'll see how coordinated you are in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Minnesota studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. Assigning repeater frequencies is analogous to playing a chess game. The frequency coordinator has to be sure each repeater he or she assigns to frequency XYZ isn't going to conflict with others on the same repeater pair within X number of miles or on adjacent frequencies. So what is life like for these major players in this VHF-UHF game of chess? One such unpaid coordinator is Aaron Collins, N9OZB. Aaron and the Illinois Repeater Association play referees in their attempts to maintain law and order among the 500-plus VHF-UHF repeaters in Illinois. A good deal of Aaron's job is rather mundane in his Arlington Heights home.
Probably the most mechanical busy-type work is devoted to the annual mailing that we send out, a set of confirmation forms to all the repeater owners in the state. We ask them to certify that their equipment is still on the air and that they're still using the frequency, because we have waiting lists of people that are waiting for frequencies in some parts of the state. It's very much to our advantage if we can convince people that aren't using their frequencies actively to give them up. That mailing goes to about 300 recipients or so in the state. Those are all the various owners of the various repeaters. That takes a couple weeks of continuous work. Otherwise, the duties are anywhere from 3 to 5 days or so of work a month, generally, is devoted to coordination by itself. And most of that is routine stuff. People moving repeaters. People lose sites all the time. They move their repeater across town to a different building or a different water tower. So most of the stuff that I do in and out, the day-to-day stuff, is routine stuff like that.
One of the problems you have is in surveying all the various licensed repeater trustees and owners is that sometimes people just don't play by the rules. And people who claim, oh yeah, my repeater's up and running, or it's in the process of being put up and it'll be up and running in 6 months, and in reality, it isn't, and it never will.
You're speaking of the phenomenon of what they call paper repeaters. Those are, people put a system up, or they propose to put a system up, and it never gets realized. And they like seeing their name in the repeater directory, or for whatever reason, they continue to prevaricate when it comes time for the annual updates. And they will tell me things that are sometimes not true. Fortunately, there's not too many of those out there. And generally speaking, if a system is off the air or never constructed for any length of time, if they notify me of the situation, I have software that sort of times that and keeps me notified. So I will be reminded to go back and check on them every 6 months or 3 months or whatever to make sure that they're actually doing their construction or getting the system on the air. However, it does not handle situations where people outright are not being truthful with me. The only way to deal with that is people will complain. When people see listings of repeaters and they know that it's not there, they will come and report this to us. And that gets into the ugly side of frequency coordination, which is then we need to chase down these people and question them, is your system on the air or not? If they decide to not be truthful, then it gets really ugly. Then we have to basically call them liars. And that's not good. It usually doesn't turn out well. But, well, unfortunately, it's a necessary but dark side of the job.
Seems to me what would be real helpful is for you to have a committee of hams in a geographical area who can help scout out if a certain repeater frequency is occupied, if somebody is really using that repeater. But that requires people who have time and who have expertise, who don't have their own axe to grind with XYZ repeater or repeater trustee or proposed repeater trustee, proposed radio club. There's just so much political BS in all this that it's amazing that anybody wants to be a frequency coordinator at all.
That is true. There's not very many people that have asked for my job in the past 12 years. I think I can count on one finger the number of people that were even moderately interested. We do have a few people spread out geographically through the state. We have board members of the IRA, I think 8 or 9 directors, and various other people in the organization, like the president and so forth, who can assist me with things like that. If somebody does come to me and it's a downstate system that I would have to drive 2 hours to go do a survey on, they can go out there and do some field spot checking for me. If somebody brings it to me and the fact that the system is not on the air or not at the location that it's supposed to be or whatever, I can enlist their aid in helping that out. Now, they're not on a regular schedule of checking things, systems on the air that are near them, so they're kind of doing it on a per-request basis or so forth. But that would be something that eventually, if I had enough manpower and time, that I would like to deputize a staff of people that do spot checking to go around to different geographical areas and actually key up and make sure the various repeaters that are out there are actually there.
You're listening to an interview, Raines Hap-Holly, KC9RP, conducted with Illinois Frequency Coordinator Aaron Collins, N9OZB. We'll resume their conversation in a moment. This is the Raine Report, awaiting you on therainreport.com, at rainreport.com on Twitter, and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Raine Report from www.therainreport.com.
Now, you are unpaid. You get any kind of reimbursement from anybody? There used to be a Mid-America Frequency Council, that sort of thing, that used to be like an umbrella coordination body where the states of Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Missouri would work together to be sure that the repeater you're coordinating today on XYZ frequency isn't. Make sure there's no one on that same coordinated frequency with this new repeater that is going to either have problems from this new machine or is going to create problems for it.
That is true, and that is the bulk of the coordination work that's done when a repeater is coordinated. That's one of the biggest things, is doing a frequency search or a frequency survey and finding other machines that might be on that frequency and measuring the distance between them. That has been done by essentially ruler and protractor type methods for many, many years. One of the things where we're getting into now is using more advanced coverage prediction tools to actually do this, and plotting the various repeaters' footprints as they sit on a map. And that may eventually allow us to put repeaters a little bit closer together than we have been able to do in the past. As far as other states goes, we all interact. Every state that does coordination has interaction with the other coordinating bodies of the adjacent states that they surround. So that when we put a repeater up on the border of Illinois and Indiana, yes, we need to make sure that there isn't another repeater on that frequency 10 feet over the border in Indiana that we don't know about. So all the proposals that we make get submitted to 8 surrounding states in our case. And those 8 states then have a 30-day period where they may look at their listings and make sure there's no conflicts. And if not, then they send me back an official okie-dokie. The umbrella organization, MAC, eventually evolved into the NFCC, the National Frequency Coordinating Council. They kind of broke down in uselessness. Unfortunately, their main charter was to be a single point of contact between various states' coordinating bodies and the ARRL. Turns out, other than the repeater directory, there's not a whole lot of interaction between the ARRL and the various states' coordinating bodies. So they really didn't have that much of a function, especially because, as I said, the various states are already directly in contact with their surrounding states' coordinating bodies. And as far as I know, all the various states that are out there have good working relationships with their neighboring states. We in particular do. Our state, Wisconsin, and Indiana, and Iowa, all those other states' coordinators are all people I've worked with for the past 5, 10, 15 years, and they're all good people. We all have excellent working relationships, which is a great thing.
I would imagine that PL has become a really good tool for you, the coordinator of repeaters that may be just on the edge of being too close together, but who, if they each run their own PL, they can get away with it.
That is it. You're absolutely correct. We have been experimenting with the state of Wisconsin for the past 5-6 years at least, if not longer, with short spacing coordinations. We have gone with a reduced spacing that's 20 to 30 miles closer than repeaters would normally be allowed to be spaced within a certain profile if they're lower height and lower power systems, which a lot of people are using these days. It's almost devolving into a kind of a cellular type system. You have a whole bunch of low-power transmitters set up in various locations throughout the map, and instead of the single-site, large, wide-area coverage machines like we saw in the past years, spacing those repeaters closer together, and that's one of the reasons why we're looking at coverage prediction modeling, is finding out how close we can actually space those repeaters without actually having them interfere with each other. And as you say, as long as they are using different PLs and DPLs or whatever, they should have no problems with hearing the adjacent systems. In fact, we have just adopted a statewide PL plan. That's something we've been in the works for the past 10 years with a good deal of help from some of the surrounding states, particularly Wisconsin. They've given us a good deal of help in drafting a statewide plan. Actually, they've come up with a regional plan that includes all of the surrounding states, and they've mapped out the PL plans of each of the various states there and gotten them all to interact and interleave with one another without repeating or interfering. And that PL plan is published on our website, the IRA website, www.ilra.net. And that's where you'll find the accurate repeater directory information as well as our new published PL plan.
ILRA?
Yeah, the Illinois Repeater Association. I guess maybe an entity from Ireland or something had IRA. So I don't want to even ponder on that one. The website is ILRA.
And that concludes part one of a look at the challenges of being a frequency coordinator in the amateur radio service. Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Illinois frequency coordinator Aaron Collins, N9OZB, who has toiled at that job for 12 years from his Arlington Heights home. We'll conclude Hap's moments with Aaron next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now, for everyone connected with these Rain Reports, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 and a 44s from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Available on therainreport.com, on Twitter, @therainreport, and via iTunes. Merry Christmas to all.